another episode. I just kicked my table with my computer on it. To another episode here of Talking Moto. Today, of course, you already know what we're going to be covering. That is the Texas round, round two of the SMX playoffs. We have had a lot of news break since round two, so we'll get to that stuff at the end, of course. Some of it, Motocross Nations based. Some of it is for the final Vegas round with quite a few injury updates. And I think going into today, I think I'm going to try something different here. I'm going to cover 250s all at once, and then I'll cover 450s all at once instead of going 250, 450, 250, 450, swapping back and forth. I'm going to try and change it up. Maybe hope it kind of flows a bit better once I get to everything that happened on Saturday. But first, we need to cover everything that happened in between Charlotte and Texas. And it all started off with Ty Masterpool. I meant to bring this up at the end of last show. Totally forgot to. It got announced that he will be returning to the Pro Circuit Monster Energy Kawasaki team for the entire 2025 season. So he will be doing Supercross, Motocross, and then ideally the playoff rounds all with the 250 Pro Circuit team on Factory Kawi there. So nice to see him get another shot. Mainly, he's been an outdoor guy most of his career. That's where he's seen quite a bit of his success, especially in 2023 outdoors on a 450, where there was quite a few injured riders in the 450 class. He stepped up as a privateer, made a pretty good name for himself racing the 450s that year. So he will be back 250s full time in 2025 for that Pro Circuit Kawasaki team. What else do we got? Couple guys that were sitting out of the Texas round. One of them was Casey Cochran. He will be sitting out the rest of the playoffs, so he missed Texas. He's going to end up missing Vegas as well for a knee injury that he sustained during the first playoff round. So his rookie season has come to an end. So, obviously, the kid who had all the speed in the amateurs showed a little bit of it in the outdoors, especially in, Minnesota, Mount Morris, I believe. He showed quite a bit of speed in Moto 2. So, hopefully, he can heal up, get back to 100%, and be ready for whatever coast he decides to race Supercross on next year. Also, Triumph announced that Jalik Swole was going to be out for Texas. Let's see, where are we here? What is it? Where? Jalik Swole. Head injury he sustained, so he was out last week, and hoping to get him back for Vegas, even though right now it is a TBD for him. And then the biggest one would be Chance Hymus sitting out at that point the remainder of the SMX playoffs. So Texas and Vegas, was going to try and put all his focus into getting healed up for Motocross the Nations. So that didn't work. I guess I'll just touch on that now real quick. So now Cooper Webb will be taking over in the MX2 class for Team USA when they head over across the pond to go compete in the Motocross Nations. Chance Hymus getting his ACL surgery that he needs to hopefully to be back for the Supercross season that is upcoming. That was it for injuries and news going into Texas. So now, with a look at the 250 qualifying times here, Hayden Deegan did end up qualifying first in the very hot Texas that they had. Once again, I said it last week, I'll say it again this week. Not sure whose decision it was to race in Texas in the middle of the day in a stadium that provides absolutely no shade on any part of the track. So it was hot. Getting a little sidetracked here, but yeah, it was damn near 100 degrees out there. I think they said like 96, 97. So Deegan did also have the a custom front number plate. Compare it to the old, when I see it, I think of Ricky Carmichael's front number plate with all the little holes drilled into it, trying to get a little bit more air into the bike to try and keep it a little bit cooler. And so yeah, obviously it worked with him qualifying first. Just about half a second in front of Joe Shimoda, who qualified second. And then shortly after signing on for 2025, Ty Masterpool goes out there and shows in qualifying that it might have been the right decision. Goes out, qualifies third with a 1:15.243. So I don't think I said Deegan's time. It was a 1:14.596. And this track got very dry, very slick, very fast. With all the heat, they couldn't throw too much water down to make it like a little half mudder type of action. So, once again, kind of questioning why they went to Texas for this. But, hey, I don't make decisions. Obviously, Texas Motor Speedway paid them enough to decide it was a good idea to race in Texas in the middle of the day. I think we can get over that now. So kind of sticking with the five guys that I had going into this series, obviously one of them is now out in Chance Hymus. We covered two of them going 1-2 with Deegan and Shimoda. In qualifying sixth was another one of the guys I wanted to keep my eye on. That was Tom Vial with a 1:15.367. And then in seventh was... Hang on. Now I'm questioning myself because I thought I put RJ Hampshire in there. I don't know. Five new guys I got. Actually, I don't think I put Joe Shimoda in there with coming off the injury. So I take that back, I guess, a little bit. Anyway, Levi Kitchen, pretty sure he was on that list. Qualified 7th with a 1:15.6. And then RJ Hampshire, who I'm pretty sure was on that list as well, qualified 14th with a 1:16.568. So, it was pretty close for the most part. There was a couple lines that really Deegan was the only one pulling out and qualifying, And that was after the off camber turn into the one, really the only rhythm section that was out there. He was going outside and then triple, I believe it was. So that was what was able to set him apart from everybody else in qualifying. And obviously it worked in qualifying, worked in both motos as well. So now, like I said, getting into the motos, we're going to go 250s all at once here. Deegan grabbed the whole shot. Joe Shimoda was right behind him. And then, that triple option that I was talking about that Deegan was pulling off in qualifying, Joe Shimoda went out there and was able to pull it off in Moto 1, grabbed the lead from him early, but Deegan was able to grab it right back. Not too much craziness here, but there's a couple pretty big crashes on the over-under jump. Ty Masterpool lost it at one point. Like I said, got real slick going up the face of that bridge jump. Looked like he just kind of wanted to obviously scrub, keep it low. Slipped a little bit going over the face. Wasn't able to clear it. Front tire hit on right before the downside of the bridge, and then he was just hanging on for it while, you can't see. Do I have where he was running in the notes? I do not. Lost a couple positions, ended up finishing 10th, so good to see he was able to get up and, in the end, finish the race. And then we had probably one of the better battles was RJ Hampshire and Levi Kitchen battled for a good 10 minutes. Levi was in front of RJ. So obviously RJ made some comments about wanting to be in the danger zone and all that. But in order to get to the danger zone in this race, you had to sneak through the kitchen a little bit and maybe grab some food while you were in there. I don't know, maybe. He was battling for a good 10 minutes, so maybe he got something out of the kitchen. But, he was able to make the pass in the rhythm section. Do not have it. Okay. And then I noticed RJ Hampshire was in 6th. Julian Beaumaire was in 5th. There was a 10-second gap. Cuts 10-second in gap. No. That is not what happened. I think it was like a 16-second gap, maybe. Or maybe about 13 or so gap between Julian Beaumaire and RJ Hampshire. And RJ was able to cut 10 seconds into that gap in 2 minutes. So just a little over, little under 2 laps, RJ was able to cut 10 seconds into it. Later did find out that I think Juju went down, and that is why that gap got cut down so quickly. And so much. Tom Viel was just kind of doing his own thing, really all moto, and then towards the end tried to put in a little bit of a run towards Joe Shimoda. Wasn't able to end up closing the gap down enough to make a pass, so he ended up in 3rd, Joe Shimoda in 2nd, and then Deegan out there out front kept it on 2 wheels. Like he's actually been able to do all playoffs long after. I honestly think he had some some tip-over problems in Pro Motocross. Had his handful in Supercross, but been able to keep it up on two wheels. Was able to do the same thing in Moto number one and grab the win. Like I said, Shimoda and VL round out the podium. And then Jordan Smith in fourth, Juju in fifth, able to hold off the late charge by RJ Hampshire in sixth, and then Levi Kitchen in seventh. Nate Thrasher, he had a big crash also on the over-under little bridge jump, where kind of sort of the same thing as Ty Masterpool, but Levi Kitchen was not able to get up and finish the race, and that was the end of his day. He finished 22nd and then did not make it to Moto number 2, where I found it interesting. In the LCQs, there was 8 riders in the 250 LCQ. With all the injuries and guys not being able to show up, they took originally 7 out of the 250 LCQ. So they took 7 out of 8. And then Thrasher had his big crash in Moto number 1. So in order to fill that last spot, the one guy who didn't qualify out of the LCQ, Matty Jorgensen from Denmark, I'm finding out right now looking at it, they put him in the last gate for 250 Moto number 2. So if you showed up on a 250, you got to race a moto and get a chance at some extra change, if you will. So now getting into 250 Moto number 2, we had Deegan grab another hole shot. Kitchen and Tom Vielle, or no, excuse me, just Kitchen was right behind him. Tom Vielle got a little squirrely coming down the very start. I had short and start, which were my next two words. Combine them together, you get start. Very short start straight. Shortest one all year. Obviously, Pro Motocross always are long. I think the closest one you'd get to it was probably be Daytona, just based on both of them being at the same type of venue. A speedway, racetrack, oval track. So, yeah. Tom Vielle almost lost it right away. Ty Masterpool, though, was able to make his way into second, even after the big Moto 1 crash. And then he had a real weird crash in Moto number 2. In a right-hand turn, looks like he kind of goes into a hole in the turn, sends him sideways a little bit, over a tough block, off the track, hits some dirt. He's on the slick grass, maybe still on the gas a little bit, back end goes sliding out, and then topples over in the grass off the track. So it was kind of a weird crash that you don't see very often. Obviously not racing on a NASCAR stadium very often, so not too many chances to see it, but he was in second crash in both motos. Holy smokes. And then RJ and Tom Vielle and Joe Shimoda were all battling until RJ had a very big crash. That's 2 weeks in a row. RJ Hampshire's had big crashes this week. Going into the rhythm section, doubles, and then goes for the middle triple, gets a little bit sideways into the, or starts leaking a little bit to the right into the tough blocks, and then he's just stuck to the tough blocks, going up the next takeoff, sideways, smashes right into the next jump. Very hard. That was about just over 9 minutes left in the race, four laps in for him. And yeah, he was not able to finish the race. So real bummer for RJ Hampshire. Pushing hard in third place at the time. Like I said, battling with Tom Viel and Joe Shimoda. Just a little mistake. Haven't seen it from the back. So I don't think he really got cross-rutted because everything was so hard. I don't think there was really ruts forming on the face of the jump with how hard the track was. But, yeah, just real interesting how he just started leaking over and then just got sucked right into the tough blocks. So that was the end of RJ Hampshire's day. But Tom Viel was not done moving forward yet. When RJ went down, Viel had 5.6 seconds to Levi Kitchen, and Viel would not be denied shortly after that. That was also the wrong time. It was more about 2.5 seconds to Levi Kitchen, not 5.6. Going into the sand, inside was working good in the sand. There's also plenty of times outside was working good in the sand. Tom Viel went inside, Levi Kitchen went outside, and yeah, Viel was just able to pin it and get out of that turn a whole lot quicker than Levi Kitchen, just slicing and dicing his way up the field after, like I said, a pretty sketchy start for Tom Viel, coming across in, what was that, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 off the start. So, credited with 12th, 8 in the second corner. Tom Viel was a moving in that second moto, making some pretty creative passes, but was not able to catch up to Hayden Deegan in the lead. So Deegan goes 1-1 for first overall, obviously. Tom Viel with second in moto number 2. Joe Shimoda rounds out the moto podium. And then Levi Kitchen, who was running in second until about 5-ish minutes left, went down to fourth in the end. Overall, we had, like I said, Deegan 1-1. You can just follow the moto number 2. Deegan, Viel, Shimoda, Kitchen. So Deegan, Viel, Shimoda was the overall podium here in Texas. Obviously, big takeaway from Texas here is RJ Hampshire with, he had a sixth in moto number 1, so he had a chance to, very outside chance to be on the podium with all three podium guys being the three podium guys all day. Still had a chance with two of them being behind him. So it sucks to see the way his day ended in Texas. What else? Deegan said he wanted to work on his starts. Went out there, got two hole shots. So obviously found something, fixed something, or really just had enough practice on it and was able to take the practice to the racetrack. And not sure what he's going to want to fix going into Vegas. So that'll be a very interesting race. He's got a pretty decent points gap here looking at it. That's 450s. Here we go. Tom Vial's got a very difficult chance to win this championship, being back 19 points in second place. Levi Kitchen, 22 back. Joe Shimoda, 24 back. So those are, you would think, the biggest threats. I know last year, Jordan Smith, after winning Moto number one, he was in a position to take the overall, but also last year, going into triple points in the 250s, Hunter Lawrence was the points leader, ended up not racing due to a practice crash. So really, if Deegan shows up and doesn't just throw it all away or have a crazy mechanical problem, he will most likely be your champion here in the 250 going back to back in the Super Motocross playoffs. First 2 years, I think he'll in the end be your first two winners, which I think I finally will get a championship prediction correct, because I'm 90% sure I picked him to win a championship. So credit to me for finally getting something right, not credit to me for it taking 5 other championship predictions wrong. So now I think that flowed pretty good, going all 250s first. It is kind of weird only being 27 minutes into this and talking about 250 points in the end, when usually that's a lot deeper into the show. But I think that went a lot better, maybe a little bit easier to follow. I think it was just better. In the end, I think that was just overall better. So we're still learning, obviously, here. Year one, season one of this. So now it's time to switch gears and head over to the 450s. And like most of the time, there is a Lawrence on top in qualifying. This time it being Jet Lawrence qualified first with a 113.201. Watching it, he did it with, I think there was 30 seconds left on the clock, so not a lot of time for the other guys to get in and try and get one more fast lap. So seems to be what he does every Supercross. There's about 10, 15, 30 seconds left in qualifying. Jet's crossing the finish line for a P1 in qualifying. Hunter Lawrence right behind him, qualifying second with a 113.923. So, he did have, I'm pretty sure he had the fastest time for a little bit, and then and of course, Jetson came in and topped him. Eli Tomac qualifying third with a 114.4. And then Chase Sexton, the guy who, the speed, it's always there for him. It's about starts. So him qualifying fourth, nothing crazy. I don't really think there was anything to really worry about seeing him qualify fourth, because seems like this year, especially outdoors, he was able to have the speed when the gate drops counted and not just for qualifying. So I'm sure, obviously, short start, you'd like to have the first gate pick. But fourth gate pick, not bad. But for someone who is a bad starter, Chase Sexton, obviously not ideal. So yeah, with a 114.9, that puts him in fourth place. And then Justin Cooper rounding out the top five with a 115.35. Nothing really too crazy. Plessinger, who's all sorts of banged up now after that practice crash in Charlotte or Concord, North Carolina, qualified ninth with a 116.027, getting beat out by 6/1000ths of a second by Colt Nichols with a 116.021. So the 027, just a blink too short of qualifying eighth for the Cowboy. So, yeah, it is now moto time here for the 450 class. And just like all summer long, we had Hunter Lawrence grabbing the hole shot. Seems like it's a pretty common theme that that these Lawrence boys, kind of decent at starts, because we had, oh no, it was Jet? No, it was Hunter. Yeah, it was Hunter grabbing the hole shot, Jet in third, Cooper Webb in second there. Jet able to make the pass on Cooper Webb. Did Jet trip? No, he did not. Yeah, just able to keep more speed, get past Cooper Webb, and set his sights on his brother, Hunter. Oh, another thing. Eli Tomac, he had a good jump, was definitely first going into turn number one. He was first going into turn number one because he was going in at the fastest speed and ended up pushing him a little bit too wide. So he had a chance at the hole shot. Too much speed pushed him a little wide and wasn't able to capitalize on the jump that he got. So, got stuck. Microphone cable got stuck under my leg. Ah, yay, yay. What am I going to do about myself? Nobody knows. That's the problem. I'm going to watch Super Motocross, that's for sure, though. Anyway, Eli Tomac, although, like I said, not the best coming out of turn one, still better than Chase Sexton, who was eighth. So yeah, this short start, fourth place qualifying for Chase Sexton, proved that it might have been a little bit of a problem for the guy, because he's got to figure out his starts. That is for darn sure. Luckily, going into this week, I'll touch on it a little bit later, I think he's got a better chance at getting a good start. So, Tomac caught up to his teammate about 7.5 minutes into the race. Tomac utilized this sand section to the most, he got the most output out of this sand section than any other rider. He was going outside and then trying to square it up and cut under riders before the little double, kind of triple if you went outside after the sand. Tried on his teammate, wasn't able to do it, but then led right back into turn one, where Tomac tried the exact same move, cut under, this time in a left-hand turn. Was able to make the move on his teammate, Cooper Webb, putting him into third place. And then a mistake by Hunter let old Jetson get into the lead. Sexton, this entire time, like I said, didn't have a good start. Feel like I could say that most of the time. Sexton, bad start, fighting through the pack. Was able to make some moves in the end and get up to fourth in moto number one. But one thing I spied with my little eye. That's not right. Something I spied with my little eye. I think they talked about it a little on the broadcast as well. Beast mode from Eli Tomac. The old beast mode seemed like he was completely back this week in Texas. Beast mode, the shark smelled the blood in the water and was absolutely moving. Also, I'm pretty sure he still had a paddle tire on. I heard in the press conference on Friday, he fully intends to run the paddle tire. I don't remember if it was talked about before motos. I don't have anything in my notes about it, but I know he at least started on Friday on a paddle tire. Wouldn't be surprised if that crazy dude raced that hard backtrack on a paddle tire. But, yeah. Hunter mistake, jet to lead, beast mode is back. So then it was Jet, Hunter, Eli, and then everybody else going into that rhythm section that I've talked about so much, where that triple was no longer an option. It was becoming double, triple, triple, yeah, and single. So that was no longer an option, the big triples. But that also doesn't really have too much to what I was getting at. Jet stalled the bike, which is very surprising. Honestly, I don't ever remember seeing Jet stall the 450. So, kind of first, like, real big mental mistake by Jet while he was leading. That let Hunter get back into the lead. That let Eli Tomac back. That let him into second. So, move Jet from first to third, where in the end, that is where they all finished. Hunter goes out, just like pro motocross. Moto number one, Hunter goes out and wins. Eli Tomac second, Jet third, and then, as I mentioned earlier, Chase Sexton fourth. Cooper Webb benefits off the good start and ends in fifth in his second weekend back from re-aggravating that thumb injury. So now Sexton is now going into moto number two with the fourth gate pick once again behind the same three guys. So I can't exactly what is that? One, two, three, four, five, six. I think Sexton was like eighth inside. Hopefully we got a good shot here. Two, three, four, five, six. Sexton went to, seems like the exact same gate here. So, two, four, six, seven. Maybe one more inside. Anyway, same general vicinity. So, obviously, he liked that angle on the short start. But that's the angle isn't what helped him the most, I don't think. Definitely didn't hurt him. But before the gate dropped, turns out Ken Roczen flinched. That made Hunter Lawrence flinch, who was right next to him. Right next to Hunter was Eli Tomac. And then on the other side was Jet. Jet said he saw Hunter flinch, and he thought, well, he flinched, I'm not going to flinch. Then the gate dropped. Obviously, like I said, Hunter and Ken Roczen flinched. They got a bad jump. Jet got an even worse jump because he was thinking about not flinching. So thinking about not flinching was basically worse than just flinching. And all that, in the end, Sexton comes around turn one in seventh. But good news for him, we had Hunter in 12th, Eli in 13th, and Jet Lawrence in 16th. So he had everybody that he needed to beat buried way behind him. So that was to his advantage. Dylan Ferrandis goes out, grabs a hole shot. He had Plessinger and Jason Anderson right behind him. Haven't said those names too often, especially with Plessinger taking the big hit and not riding to full 100% health and potential. And then Jason Anderson also being out round one. Forgot to mention that earlier. Jason Anderson was back. But Sexton was able to kind of rectify it pretty quickly, get up into fourth, going into turn like three or four. So he was able to get back up there pretty quick. Oh, also, Justin Cooper. Where are we? Justin Cooper ended moto number one in 21st, banged up his collarbone, and was not able to line up for moto number two. Just a quick little side note that I forgot to mention before I started this. And then Dylan Ferrandis made a mistake, wasn't able to clear a double, came up, cased it. Sexton was able to put a pretty simple rhythm together and take over the lead. And then, like we saw, outdoors, once again, kind of carbon copy of first place positions in these motos compared to outdoors. Hunter Lawrence, moto number one, goes out, wins. Chase Sexton, moto number two, goes out and kind of dominates, to be honest. So, kind of carbon copy of outdoors. Just now we got Jetson and Eli and Kenny and Cooper Webb. All the fellas are back out racing. But Jet was able to pull out a pretty sizable triple, get past Cooper Webb with 9 minutes left, Jet was 10.3 seconds behind Chase Sexton. One lap later, Hunter was able to make the same pass on Cooper Webb, same exact spot as Jet. And then that was really it. With 5 minutes left, Hunter had about 5 minutes left. Hunter has over Jet. Overall. 5 minutes left. Hunter had the overall. Jet was 13.3 seconds behind Chase Sexton now at this point. If Jet was able to go catch past Chase Sexton, he would have taken the overall. But he was not able to do that. There was points where Sexton had the overall with how far back the Lawrence brothers started, mainly Hunter Lawrence. Sexton goes out, dominates Moto2 like he did all outdoor season pretty much. Jet in second, Hunter Lawrence third, Cooper Webb, another strong ride here in Moto number 2 for fourth, and Tomac rounding out the top five. Oh, also, in sixth place, Ken Roczen crashed on the start straight, goes from last to sixth in a 20-minute race, so very impressive by Ken Roczen. Turns out he said is the best he's felt out of all the races so far was this moto. Obviously he had the speed, just sucks that he went down in on the very first like 50 feet of the track. I mean, 50 feet was also basically the entire start straight with how short it was. So looking at the overall, Hunter Lawrence grabs his first ever 450 overall victory. So big congrats and shout out to Hunter for being able to grab his first 450 overall. Started all the way back in Anaheim 1, where he didn't even qualify for his first Supercross main event at Anaheim 1, to now round 2 of the Super Motocross playoffs, grabbing his first overall with scores of 1-3 in front of Sexton in second with 4-1, and then Jet 3-2 for third overall. Eli's first moto really helped him big time in getting fourth overall at the 2-5. Cooper Webb not getting docked six positions this week in either motos, so that'll definitely help you with a 5-4 for fifth overall. Round one, Ken Roczen went 5-5 for fifth. This week, he went 6-6 for sixth. So, if I got to make a prediction next week, I don't like seeing Ken Roczen going backwards, because I like the guy. Fun to watch. My dad's favorite. But I'm going to make a prediction next week. He's going to go 7-7 for seventh. That's just the way it goes. And then ideally when it comes to Motocross Nations, when he's on Team Germany, maybe like 8-8s. I'd be good with that. Now taking a look at the points. 450s is where all the eyes will be at 10 o'clock Eastern Time. Can't wait to stay up for that one. We got a winner take all here. Triple points. Hunter Lawrence got the red plate. Red plate doesn't really matter in this situation, to be honest, because Chase Sexton is 1 point behind him. So Hunter Lawrence goes out. He wins the overall. He wins the championship. Chase Sexton goes out. He wins the overall. He wins the championship. Jet Lawrence, 9 points behind. He goes out, he wins the overall, he wins the championship. Eli Tomac, 21 points back. he goes out there, wins the overall, most likely won't win the championship. So yeah, we have a winner take all in the 450s. I have no clue who is going to win this. I don't know what the heck is going to go on. It is a, seems like a fairly large track layout back on a drag strip. Split starts, like I mentioned, I think it was during the 450 qualifying part. I think that'll help Chase Sexton get a good start. Looks like the starting gates are also a little bit elevated, so they come downhill pretty quickly after for a short bit. Like they used to do that all the time in Vegas, if I'm remembering correctly. Maybe it was more the Monster Energy Cup, but yeah. Split start, a lot more even than the split start we saw in Concord, Charlotte area, where it's a true split start. Left side goes right side goes left, and they meet in the middle. And then they go right onto a tunnel jump, which who knows how that's going to turn out. There's going to be a lot of guys packed in really close and then going to have to slow down really fast. But I don't make the tracks. Yeah, looking at the rest of the track, a lot more outside the drag strip than there was Z-Max in Concord. So it's going to be a lot faster out there. I don't think there's going to be too bad of braking bumps out there because there's not a lot of kind of like harsh corners out there. Seems maybe be able to keep the momentum up a little bit more besides maybe two of these corners. It's looking like two, three of these corners. Yeah, this is going to be very interesting. Chase Sexton said he struggled with flat corners in round one. Seems like there, what do we got here? One, two, three and a half-ish bowl turns. So maybe doesn't get his starts that he needs. He'll be able to move up the field and make some more passes. I did see there was, I think it was Vital MX posted a video of Sexton being kind of brutally honest about the bike, saying, how can you expect him to win if he's not comfortable on the bike? And, he said there was a full on meltdown Wednesday before the Texas round. Said maybe that didn't need to happen, but yeah, I guess KTM kind of got it scrubbed off the old interweb. So going to be kind of interested to tune into the press conference on Friday, tomorrow, today, whenever you're listening to this, to see if he gets asked about it and to see what his response would be. So I'm interested in tuning in to that tomorrow. But tune in after you listen to this. Finish this first. Track looks like it's going to be awesome. Who do we have out now in the 450 class? Justin Cooper, collarbone, is a TBD. RJ, 250 class. Casey Cochran, like I mentioned, out. RJ, out. What else? Chance Hymus mentioned earlier, out. Jalik Swole and Nate Thrasher both are a TBD. I think Deegan's going to go out there and win next week. I honestly don't think I can make a 450 prediction. I mean, it's winner take all. Gloves are, I could see gloves coming off between Sexton and Jet Lawrence. I could see them being in a little bit more heated of a battle than Sexton and Hunter Lawrence. Obviously, both the Lawrence brothers say, talking about each other, brothers first, racers second. So they're going to be race nice and clean. But yeah, I don't think I can predict a winner. Screw it. Eli Tomac's going to go out there and win. He's going to play spoiler. Whoever comes in second wins it all. So, yeah. That'll be it here. Real excited. Oh, I did want to take a peek at the weather. With it being Vegas, little bit of a desert, that's the wrong country even. Saturday, ...10 p.m. my time, 75. So not gonna have the almost 100 like we had in Texas. So yeah, talking underscore moto on X. I think that'll be about it. Pretty sure I covered everything. Oh, I did remember now seeing Cameron McAdoo. I do believe he has gone on and Cooper Webb. Yeah, Cameron McAdoo has also re-signed with the Pro Circuit Monster Energy Kawasaki team for next season as well. So they now have both Ty Masterpool and Cameron McAdoo locked up for next year. So yeah, happy I remembered that here right at the very end. Yeah, talking underscore moto on X. Excited to watch the races. So not excited that they're at 10 o'clock here Eastern time, but I will hopefully stay awake for all of it. Talking underscore moto on X. I'll be back next week for the SMX finale recap. See ya.